Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
Welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. My name is Walker Wildman, guest hosting today. Our hosting today, you could say, because I'm on the show pretty often, so not necessarily a guest. Fred Jackson in with us, the usual Fred Jackson. Glad you're here, Fred.
I'm glad I'm not the unusual.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very good, would it? That wouldn't be very good.
Different role for me today, too. Co-hosting.
I'll tell you what, it's a Monday, and it's a busy Monday.
Yes, it is.
I'm trying to answer emails while I'm introducing everybody for the show. Probably not good to do two things at once. Chris Woodward, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me back.
Chris taking Fred's spot when it comes to bringing us the news.
Chris Jackson.
There you go. A lot of things going on today. Before we get started in the news, I want to mention a few things. First off, Christmas is about 2 weeks away. I know we're all excited for that, ready to get off work for a couple days and enjoy time with our family and friends. And I'm honestly looking forward to hunting some more. I've been, you know, whining and complaining to my wife because, poor me, I haven't been able to hunt really for the past 2 weeks because of the weather. It's been raining and hot, and so I know my wife has a lot of pity on me, knock on wood. But anyways, I'm looking forward to the Christmas break, and it looks like we're going to have a couple days of dry weather, Fred, and then the rain's going to come back over the weekend.
Yeah, it is. It felt like Mississippi winter here this past couple of days. Cold and very damp, but snow in some of these parts too, we're not officially winter yet. And for the deep south to be getting snow this time of the year, very unusual.
Yeah. Yeah, and tomorrow night here in northeast Mississippi is going to be down in the 20s, I think 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little chilly, so we'll just have to keep an eye on that. Man, that global warming's just taking a toll on the U.S. But enough of that. Well, one more thing before I got sidetracked there that I wanted to mention is our Christmas wristbands. If you want to order our Christmas wristbands, Keep Christ in Christmas, you can go to afastore.net, afastore.net, and you can order your Christmas wristbands. Actually, I'm on the website now, and there's free shipping today. Free shipping through December 12th. So through Wednesday, you can get free shipping on any order on the AFAstore.net. So go there, maybe buy a few Christmas gifts or whatnot, some stocking stuffers. But enough of that. Chris, bring us some of the news headlines.
Well, one of the big news headlines, to bring it back to the weather, there was a record-setting weekend of snow that walloped the southeast, not necessarily where we are in the southeast, but commuters were facing canceled flights and icy roads as late as today. Thousands are still without power. It looks like the first winter storm of the season is fading, but a warning remains in effect for Virginia, where we do have listeners. In Virginia, there's 11 inches of snow that's fallen so far on Roanoke. That's the fourth highest December total on record. Flights are, again, canceled. If you can, stay at home today. Work at home if at all possible. Certainly, we'll be hearing all that. But, you know, this kind of presents an opportunity, I think, to bring us back to the real meaning of Christmas, where we are to look out for one another, to give and give cheerfully, things like that. Christmas is not necessarily about the latest video game or fashion fad. It's loving your neighbor, and what better time when you hear about this mess in parts of the southeastern U.S. or the northeastern U.S. where they have snow as well, to really step up and step out and, you know, give people some blankets, maybe pull a coat or two out of the closet that you haven't worn since the first Bush administration, H.W. Bush, and, you know, give out, find some ways to really do something different this Christmas. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a neat news story there, and it's definitely chilly outside, definitely that time of year. So, anyways, what's your thoughts on that, Fred?
Well, it's been chaotic. I'm just watching something. I think Hickory, North Carolina, snow, Greensboro, North Carolina. I was watching a live hit from on the Weather Channel there last night. Snow is one thing, but what they were getting is some freezing rain on top of that, so that you have an ice covering on top of the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when it comes down in freezing rain, that is just chaos for electrical wires and all of that sort of thing. I know at one point during the weekend, there were 300,000 people without power.
Wow.
And the power goes out when it's already cold.
Right.
And the chaos that that can cause. So, yeah, it's unusual. Charlotte, North Carolina got hit hard. That's a major hub for American Airlines, and they were canceling hundreds of flights there in the southeast during the weekend. So I don't think school is out yet, but you can imagine this kind of thing happening when school gets out, a lot of people traveling, what that does. But, you know, the one good thing coming out of all this, there is I think there was a report of just one fatality so far.
Right.
And certainly our prayers are with that family. But with this kind of chaos on the roads.
I think a tree fell.
A tree fell, actually, yeah. So it's a blessing so far as car accidents and that sort of thing, not claiming a lot of lives.
Yeah.
But we're facing that, and I think it was the Farmer's Almanac that actually predicted that
That's
it was
right.
going to be a cool winter. And once again, the Farmer's Almanac seems to know a little bit more than Al Gore.
Yeah, that's right. The farmers, man, they know how to predict the weather, that's for sure, and because their livelihood depends on it.
Mm-hmm.
And South Carolina, I believe, or North Carolina, one of the two, last week declared a state of emergency before the snowstorm got there because they knew, Chris, that it was going to be pretty bad. And the thing is, you know, if you get that a pretty thick layer of ice on the roads, unless you have some kind of special tires, I mean, you virtually can't drive because you're slipping, sliding, running into stuff. It's very dangerous.
Oh, yeah. For those that are not aware, you know, in, let's say, Ohio, you know, where they put salt down on roads and things like that, they don't do that very much here in the southeast. They'll do it maybe at the last minute, at the 11th hour when the meteorologist says snow is coming. And our snow is nothing compared to snow in other parts of the country, except on occasion. All that to say, we don't really have the infrastructure and the materials that other parts of the country use for things like this, which is why it's that big of a story when you have traffic problems and accidents and things of that sort. It's not that we don't know how to drive. We do. We have licenses that we earn. But there's just certain things that are not done to the roads ahead of time in many cases, and that's why you pop up these things. I do want to mention this because I don't want to forget our fellow Americans in the great state of Alaska, where we do have listeners. I think we had some donors during Share-a-thon. Schools in Anchorage plan to reopen today after that 7.0 magnitude earthquake that rattled the city back on November 30th. This story, I think, just kind of went away. It was a Friday, I think. It was really good video of, you know, roads and stuff falling apart and that television station there that was kind of just in chaos, things like that, really big mess. And it kind of went away. And I think a lot of it has to do with distance and things like that. But certainly, as we remember and pray for our fellow Americans in the southeastern U.S., the Carolinas, let's also pray that these kids get back to a good and safe day, get back to learning, and get back to the way things were. Obviously, you can never go back to the way things were, as you know, pre-quake. But certainly, you know, just be mindful of those people.
I didn't know how susceptible. I didn't know that Alaska was that susceptible to earthquakes.
I didn't either. Yeah.
And these weren't just, you know, a little tremor here and there. This was, from the pictures I saw, at least in certain areas, it split the road in half, literally, to where you couldn't cross it until they repaired the road. And it would look like a sinkhole almost, and so that was a pretty big deal, and I know it didn't get much coverage.
It's a fault line that starts all along the West Coast. When we lived on the West Coast, we were very much aware of the possibility of these things happening all the time. So when you hear about the earthquakes in California, remember that fault line goes all the way up. Some have said, you know, the West Coast could slip off into the Pacific Ocean. We have no idea. That's in God's control.
Yeah.
It's always, in my mind, when you see these things, we are reminded that there's only so much man can do. You're talking about getting ready for snow. There's no way to get ready for an earthquake as far as there's no prediction that it's coming.
Right.
It can be a beautiful, sunny day. And this kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
It just is there. It begins to happen, and then you have the follow-up tremors. And it's just – earthquake is one of the scariest events in nature, in that it's in God's control. We know that.
Yeah.
But it's one of the scariest events because there is no predictor.
Yeah, and there's not really a safe place.
Nope. No.
There's not one. I mean, well, a tornado, you can get in a shelter. With a flood, you can get to higher ground. But And with ice and snow, you can get inside, bunker down, stay warm. But with a an earthquake, it's on you quick, and you know, you just gotta
stand in the doorway, I think.
Yeah, and they say, you know, hide under desk or things, so if things are falling, they don't hit you in the head and knock you out. But even then, you know, what if the ground underneath you starts splitting? So
that's right.
Anyways, moving on. What else you got, Chris?
Well, the other big topic from over the weekend, and certainly still a topic of discussion on all the television networks today, is James Comey. Spoke to lawmakers last week. Information about what he knew, did not know, came out over the weekend. Fred updated our website with that information on Saturday. Comey, you know, has never been a fan of President Trump. I think we've been able to determine that, regardless of where you might be politically. Speaking on a television show over the weekend, this is clip four, Brent. Former FBI Director James Comey said that we must hold President Trump accountable.
My reaction to it is actually disturbing to me, which is kind of, eh, there he goes again. I thought I was lying, James Comey, now I'm leaking James Comey. But I kind of shrug and sometimes smile and laugh about it. And then I have a secondary reaction, which is to be horrified at my own numb reaction. We must hold him accountable. And it's not a Republican thing or it's a Democratic thing. It's an American thing, because this is unacceptable. I don't love my current life as a semi-employed celebrity. By accident of history, I have a role that I can play to speak about the rule of law and the truth, and I think that's useful. And so that's the role I'm trying to play.
Now, James Comey, I don't know the man from Adam, but he strikes me as a person that clearly is only concerned about James Comey. And one could certainly make a very good argument with that hypothesis by playing that soundbite. What do you guys think?
Yeah, James Comey, you know, this is typical, you know, when you're when you've done some things wrong, this is typical Washington, go before Congress and don't say anything. And the only thing you say is stuff you want to say and that you can say and that doesn't implicate you as far as being guilty of something. But, you know, I think Congress, even the Republicans, I'm so tired of this circus. I mean, this is a show. If you're going to come before Congress and you're not going to answer our questions, I'm speaking as if I'm Congress, then we're going to hold you in contempt of Congress. Now, if you would like to claim your Fifth Amendment right to not answer questions, then you can do that, but you need to do that. And James Comey went in there without asserting his Fifth Amendment, and he only answered a handful of the questions. So it's time that Congress, and this is not going to happen now that Democrats are going to take over, this is why Republicans can't continue winning, because they're weak. Republicans are weak, and they don't get their base excited because they don't do what they said they're going to do, what they said they would do. So my rant will end in this before I pitch it over to Fred. Congress needs to, and the only people that are going to do this would be Republicans. If you bring someone before your committee, and they're there to answer questions about whatever investigation, there's two options. They can say, I'm using my Fifth Amendment privilege, and I'm not going to answer your questions. And my attorneys have said that I'm not going to answer questions. Or they have to answer all the questions. They have to answer every single question. This was a closed-door hearing. Mm-hmm. Classified information could have been discussed. So if Comey didn't answer the questions, which he didn't, Congress needs to hold him in contempt. They need to go before a judge, handcuff James Comey, put him in the jail, which the Congress has a jail inside the U.S. Congress, hold him there until he answers the questions. And when he answers the questions, he can go. But until then, until we enforce the rules on the books, which is you don't answer Congress's questions, you're in contempt. Eric Holder was in contempt under Obama. Until you start enforcing that, then people are going to walk all over Congress, and they're not going to take this stuff seriously.
Yeah, during this closed-door hearing on Friday, we know now this morning, because the transcript of that meeting was released on Saturday, heavily redacted, by the way, of what was said inside. But what we do know, that more than 200 times, James Comey, when asked questions, he said, I don't know or I don't recall. Now, this is a guy who is the former director of the FBI, also a former prosecutor before that. For a guy who has that legal expertise, for a guy to keep saying, I don't remember, I don't recall, that's kind of scary. He has a pretty bad memory if he's telling the truth. But here it is. It's all politics. James Comey knows, number one, he's got the media on his side. He doesn't like Donald Trump, maybe even hates Donald Trump. and so does the media. So he knows he's not going to get any tough questions. He came out smiling like the, what do they call that, Cheshire Cat or something like that, after the hearing. He knew he won the day, and he wasn't going to be held accountable. In fact, he went on ABC on the weekend, and he had this to say, James Comey. He said that Democrats, quote, have to win the 2020 presidential election to stop President Trump from lying from the White House. I can tell you that all of us should use every breath we have to make sure the lying stops on January 20th, 2021. So there you have it. He's a Democrat.
Yeah.
He expects people to forget that under his leadership at the FBI, he had FBI agents that expressed, you know, Peter Strzok and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they expressed their hatred in their email messages that they hated Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you've got the historical fact of how James Comey handled the Hillary Clinton email scandal.
Right.
You know, he hauls her in, a little private meeting, and they decide, I guess there's not enough evidence here. So he wants the American public to forget all of that. Right. He has the mainstream media on his side, so the mainstream media is not going to hold him accountable for that.
Right.
And so that's why he's smiling all the way. You know, he's just... Now he's saying openly, I hope the Democrats win in 2020.
Yeah, and it sounded like, from what I saw, that he answered more questions for the media in the hallway outside of the hearing room than he did for the congressman in the hearing room. And this is the problem with Washington, and it's not just a Democrat thing. The Democrats are going to do what the Democrats do, and we all know what they're going to do because they tell us. And they actually do what they say they're going to do. But the problem with the Republicans is they bring in people and they act like they're going to hold them accountable. And then people like James Comey just absolutely walk all over Republicans and they get away with it.
Yeah.
And so until that problem's fixed, then we're going to have trouble holding people accountable.
I do have some sound here. You know, certainly this is not just us sharing these opinions of Mr. Comey. This is clip 5, Brent. Former FBI Special Agent Chris Swecker told Fox and Friends that Comey is a disgrace to the FBI.
He's been a prosecutor for many years. He was the director of the FBI for a short period of time. He's an accomplished attorney. Of course he remembers. These are some of the most important investigations in the FBI's history.
Well, then what's he doing?
It's a page right out of the Clinton playbook. Believe me, you read Ken Starr's book, where the Clinton team was coaching Monica Lewinsky to say, I don't remember. That's a tactic. You can't get prosecuted for perjury if you don't remember.
Hmm. And meanwhile, we've got sound from one of the Republicans that has more questions than answers now after all this. Let's go to clip 1 here. This is Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio. He was on Justice with Jeanine Pirro talking about Comey's testimony. Clip 1.
245 times he says, don't remember, don't recall, and don't know. I guess the biggest takeaway for me was the don't know part. Specifically, he didn't know much about Christopher Steele, the guy who they used his work product, the dossier, to go get the warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. He didn't know. He never met Chris Steele, didn't know the relationship that Christopher Steele had with Bruce Ohr, specifically that Christopher Steele was passing information to Bruce Ohr, who was then giving it to the FBI. Didn't know that Christopher Steele was terminated for talking to the press. Didn't know he had talked to the press. Didn't know they continued to work with Christopher Steele after he had been terminated and continued to get his information. So I was mostly struck by that. Here's the key player, the guy who put together the dossier that was the basis for getting the warrant. And you didn't know anything about him? I find that hard to believe, but those were his answers yesterday.
There you go.
Jim Jordan's tough. I like Jim Jordan. I think if he was the chairman, maybe there would be a contempt citation.
Well, he wanted to be House Speaker.
Yeah.
And then Republicans play not to lose.
Right.
Versus play to win. And that's why he's not going to be House Speaker.
Yeah, and that's why Republicans, well, one reason Republicans, some could argue, lost in November is because they're weak and they haven't gotten anything done.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on, Chris.
Well, I mean, sticking with Trump, really. Where do we go here? Oh, you had Congressman Adam Schiff. Certainly, everybody knows him and his run-ins with the administration. Pick your person. But Representative Adam Schiff. This is clip 6. He told CBS's Face the Nation that President Trump could actually face jail time at least at some point in the future.
My takeaway is there's a very real prospect that on the day Donald Trump leaves office, the Justice Department may indict him, that he may be the first president in quite some time to face the real prospect of jail time. We have been discussing the issue of pardons that the president may offer to people or dangle in front of people. The bigger pardon question may come down the road as the next president has to determine whether to pardon Donald Trump. Now, I think the prosecutors in New York make a powerful case against that idea. All the arguments they make about Michael Cohen, the idea that while people are out walking precincts and doing what they should do in campaigns, the rich and powerful seem to live by a different set of rules. This was the argument for putting Michael Cohen in jail on these campaign violations. That argument, I think, was equally made with respect to individual one, the president of the United States.
Chris is going to need to get me some blood pressure medicine before
that
we
was
even,
a whole lot
we're
of
not
maze.
Even at the first break yet, and now my blood's boiling. You know, the thing about that, Fred, is let's just look at two examples. And you had Dinesh D'Souza, maybe 300,000 or 200,000 in campaign finance violations. No, it may not even been that. It was, I think he just gave a little bit over the limit and didn't report it. Mm-hmm. But Dinesh D'Souza went to jail. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for very long, maybe 6 months or a year. Yeah. But Dinesh D'Souza, the conservative commentator, movie maker, book writer, he went to jail for campaign finance violations. All right, I disagree. I think the punishment was too harsh for the crime. Nonetheless, all that was taken care of before a jury, and that's what they decided. That's how our system works. Well, Barack Obama committed $2 million worth of campaign finance violations. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, he just had to pay a fine to his own Department of Justice.
Yeah.
So that's the double standard here. Mm-hmm. The same is going with this. President Trump, I would argue, didn't commit any campaign finance violations because this came out of his personal bank account. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing. But the second thing is where is Adam Schiff when Hillary Clinton is taking millions of dollars from foreign governments, meanwhile she's doing them diplomatic favors as Secretary of State? Mm-hmm. The answer to that is they're nowhere to be found, because whatever they can do to carry out their political objectives, they'll do it, whether it's ethical or not.
Yeah, and that doesn't matter. And I was going to say the same thing with regards to Hillary Clinton. I mean, his desire in this interview, by the way, President Trump calls him Little Adam Shifty.
Yeah.
and this is what we're going to see, folks. What you saw on the weekend from Adam Schiff, from James Comey, is just a small sample of what you are going to hear and see for the next 2 years now that the Democrats control the House. Mm-hmm. So they control the House, the media is on their side, and, you know, let's go back to the Mueller investigation. Supposedly collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. Did you notice that in the statements put out by the Mueller campaign on the weekend, nothing about Russian collusion? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Right.
As you alluded to a few moments ago, payments, you know, the allegation is that Trump campaign funds were used to silence Stormy Daniels and
right.
this Playboy
yeah.
girl. As you said, it was private money that was done for that.
Exactly.
So there's nothing indictable here at all.
Right.
But they're going to play this out and play this out and play this out for the media. The next 2 years is an attempt by the Democrats and the media to defeat Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
You're going to hear this over and over and over again.
And even if President Trump did do some kind of campaign finance violations, that's not why Mueller's team
that's
was started
right.
to
right.
find. They weren't right. there to find campaign finance violations.
Mm-hmm.
I'll guarantee you, if we allow special counsels to look at all the campaign finances across the country, there will be hundreds and thousands of examples of campaign finance violations, because it's largely an area with low accountability. Mm-hmm. Today's issue is American Family Radio. We'll be back after the break.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, Stephen McDowell has been a personal friend of mine for a couple of decades now. He is one of the best historians I know. He is president of the Providence Foundation, and no one documents early American history, especially the Christian aspect of early American history, better than my friend Stephen McDowell. He is going with us on our spiritual heritage tours, and he'll be talking all along the way and answering questions. And you're going to enjoy spending time with him if you're able to go with us in June or September. Again, we're going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and we're also going on a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So if you'd like to go on either one of these or both of them, contact us at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Tom Perez, the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, told a crowd the other day he was alarmed. He said Republicans are getting their guidance from Fox News, church pulpits, and the National Rifle Association. NRA President Oliver North tells me it's yet another example of how out of touch the Democrats have become.
This is the same message that they tried years ago. Remember the business about clinging to our guns and our Bibles? I mean, these guys are so out of touch with America. It ought to be fairly simple for me to double the membership of the NRA, because that's our goal.
In one fell swoop, Mr. Perez attacked freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and the right to bear arms. Laughable, but troubling, because socialism has infected the Democrat Party. And as history has taught us, those freedoms do not exist in countries ruled by socialism. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues, this Monday edition. Got a lot of things going on in the news, a lot of things going on around the country, and we'll keep you up to date on everything going on. As I mentioned at the beginning of the first segment, you can visit afastore.net. We have free shipping available until Wednesday of this week, the 12th, December 12th at midnight. The free shipping offer will end. But until then, you can go to afastore.net, and we have a lot of different resources there, many different resources. The first thing that you might want to grab is the Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands. They're a great way to share your faith, also a great way to hand out to your coworkers, people you go to church with, or your family or friends, a great way to witness there. Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands available at afastore.net. And another item, this segues great to our next guest, another item that you might want to get is Redeem Clean laundry detergent and other products. Lynn Ingram joins us. Many of you know Lynn. Lynn Ingram of Redeem Clean, welcome to Today's Issues.
Good morning, Walker. Great to be here, sir. Thank you.
Glad to hear your voice. How's the weather out in Texas?
It's beautiful in West Texas. Be sure to inform me of that, okay? They give me a hard time, but it's beautiful in West Texas.
Good deal. Is it as cold in Texas as it is here in Mississippi?
We got snow Saturday.
Oh.
We got snow on Saturday.
Great.
I don't know about y'all, but it's perfect weather today. About mid-40s, and the sun is out. It's just gorgeous, Walker. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Well, give our listeners, before we jump into maybe another question regarding Redeem Clean, just give our listeners a brief overview of what Redeem Clean is, what the product is all about.
Thank you, Walker. Several years ago, the Lord just laid on our heart to KFA and AFR. We've been longtime listeners, supporters of y'all, and Jim and I had been involved with the sale of a company and just realized now was the time to really do something. So we set up a company. He and I have both been in the laundry and dry cleaning business many years, many years combined, probably near 100 years, and with our families and us individually and us personally. And we know more about the laundry and dry cleaning business than anything else. We know a lot about a lot of different things, but we know the most about this. And we figured, and we were planning, and God led us through this, called us to do it, to build a company with a line of products that would be true, time-tested, to offer to AFA and AFR and others so that the proceeds would go to support the ministry of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in whatever capacity, in any direction, you AFA and AFR felt like it needed to be. And that's what we've done, is to take a products and product lines that we use every day, and so the proceeds would go to support your ministry, support the ministry of Jesus through you. And that's what we set up to do, Walker. Is that
amen?
Is that explained it enough?
Yeah, very good answer there, Len. And give our listeners a couple, tease us with a couple of the products that we have available there.
You bet. Walker, before we started, we had focus groups. We in Birmingham, Alabama, and in Dallas, we had four focus groups, and asked listeners, AFA and AFR listeners, that were solicited to come, and we were behind the glass door, and we listened to the glass window to see what they wanted, what they liked, what they didn't like. And everything we've done, we've tried to design the product and the product lines and the kits to what they asked for. And now that we're in this several months, we've been getting a lot of other feedback, and they told us what they want. One of the things that everybody wanted, that not everybody, but a lot of requests for, was the Free and Clear product. No dye, no scent. There, people are have a lot of allergies, and they're allergic to a lot of different things. So we developed a line of laundry detergent that's free and clear of dye and other stuff. But these are products, our laundry detergents, we have powder, we have liquid, we have free and clear, we have dryer sheets, everything, a lot of things related to the cleaning of your clothes. And also there's an accessory kit that a lot of people have liked. There's softener and a multi-surface cleaner and a stain remover and dryer sheets, everything related to the cleaning of clothes. And we've also got lots of answers. If you'd like to call and ask us about answers, you know, just put us on the there's a question answer session. Just plug those questions in, and we'd like to tell you how to get the most out of your laundry experience at home.
Amen, Len. Well, just a personal testimony of my own here. My wife and I love the multi-surface cleaner because not only does it smell good, as it cleans virtually every surface you put it on. You can use it on glass, almost like a Windex. You can use it on countertops. I even use it in my vehicles. It's not too strong, so I can use it on leather seats. I use it on the dashboard to clean the dashboard. So a lot of different purposes for that and many other products there on the store. Here's the link if you want to order it. Just go to Redeem Clean. That's one word, redeemclean.afastore.net, redeemclean.afastore.net. Len, we hope you have a Merry Christmas. Maybe we'll speak to you before Christmas, but I hope
we Merry Christmas to all of y'all too, and thank you for what you do. Keep the fight up, the good fight, guys. Support you, we encourage you, we pray for you guys, and just thank you for all you do, and we're going to do what we can do on this end to support you guys, okay?
Amen, Len. Appreciate it, brother.
Amen.
All right, bye-bye.
Brother. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
All right, there you have it. That's Len Ingram, the creator and founder of Redeem Clean, laundry detergent and other cleaning products. And here's the thing. With Redeem Clean, Len and his friend Jim Duncan did not take someone else's product, put it in a different bottle, and put a new label on it to resell. They actually developed the detergent and the cleaning products themselves. So it's original and only exclusive to American Family Radio. So once again, redeemclean.afastore.net to purchase that product and get it shipped right to your front door. All right, Chris, let's move on back into the news.
Well, let's go across the Atlantic to visit one of our nation's oldest allies. Certainly, we wouldn't have a nation here without the nation of France taking our side back in that revolution that we've talked and heard so much about since 76. But the nation of France, you know, Mr. Macron, the president of France, he's been in the news for some unfortunate things in recent days. He had a lot of people taking it to the streets to protest a carbon tax to help offset what he thought is climate change, man-made global warming, whatever you want to call it. He's had some other housing initiatives that he's had to scale back as a result of that. And then there have been some findings that the French White House has been dropping an insane amount of money on a hairdresser. We're talking 10,000 euros a month on a hairdresser. And there is a gentleman here from Europe, Steve Hilton, one of the Fox News personalities, newer Fox News personalities. We've got some sound from him here. This is clip 9, Brent.
I don't know if President Macron's haircut is worth what's $11,000 a month, but the style he really should have is that of the original, out-of-touch French elitist Marie Antoinette. When told that the people couldn't afford bread, she famously said, "Let them eat cake." Guess what Macron said when French workers complained that his new gas tax meant they couldn't afford to get to work? He told them to carpool. What's going on in France is part of a worldwide populist uprising in the UK, in Germany, in Italy, in Eastern Europe, in Brazil, and of course here in America with Donald Trump's election. But there's something else going on too, the elitist fight back. In Britain, they're about to overturn Brexit. In Italy, the new populist government is about to have its budget rejected by the EU. And of course, here in America, the establishment is doing everything it can to get Donald Trump out of office before the next election. If the elitist idiots think that Trump, Brexit, and all these other populist movements are some kind of aberration and they can soon get back to business as usual, forget it.
Wow. So much to take in there.
Yeah.
So much to take in there. Yeah, I mean, it's spot on. Can you imagine? And I'm sure we probably drop an insane amount of money on things for the First Lady or the President or whatever else, which is dates back long before Trump, the Obamas, you name the administration. But can you imagine if somebody discovered and reported that President Trump spends $11,000 a month just on his hair?
Yeah, that would be an outrage. And, you know, this thing in France is we need to keep an eye on it. In Paris, these riots, these people who are upset. And, you know, I don't know. First off, I don't think we need to be burning down cars and buildings.
Right.
No matter what. That's what happened during the American Revolution. We solved that. Now we have a constitution and the rule of law. But the frustrations that these people are showing and voicing, they're legitimate frustrations because they're right in the middle class. We're talking about what some are calling the yellow vest people, the people protesting and burning up Paris as we speak. What they're protesting is, and the media may not be covering this, but it's a tax hike on carbon emissions, on fuel. It's a fuel tax hike, basically. And so when you go fill up your car, gas is dollars more when you get done filling your car up. And so these people were upset about it, rightfully so. And that's really, some call it the populist movement. I know you hinted towards that, Fred, this morning.
Yeah. Well, and it is. Keep in mind, what Macron was suggesting would amount to gasoline being about $7 a gallon. Now, just stop and think about that, folks. Listen, this populist movement that Steve Hilton alluded to, it's already arrived here in the United States. It was resolved in the 2016 election with the election of Donald Trump. The election of Donald Trump was part of this populist movement. You had Hillary Clinton calling Trump supporters a basket of deplorables. Mm-hmm. That's the same kind of arrogance that you see among the elitists there in France, that you see among the elitists in Italy, that you see in the UK. That's what was behind the whole Brexit movement. And by the way, the elitists trying to stop this, as Steve Hilton says in Britain, Prime Minister May just announced a few hours ago that the vote on Brexit has been delayed there in Britain because, you know, there is a strong movement in the world today for globalist thinking.
Yeah.
That's what's behind the whole climate talks, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, if Hillary Clinton had been elected in 2016, the American people probably would be facing $4 and $5 gallon of gasoline in order to stop carbon emissions. That's what would happen. We've seen it in Canada.
Yes.
What's going on in France. You've got to understand, these are people who believe that they have solutions to solve all the world's problems.
Yes.
They believe they are smarter than everybody else and that they have a right to impose these things on everybody else. You had the story last week of Bernie Sanders, Mr. Climate Change himself, socialist.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We found out in October of last year, he spent how much on his own private jet?
$300,000.
$300,000. This is Bernie Sanders telling everybody else, you got to start heating your home with solar panels or wind.
He was tweeting about it while he was getting on the air.
Yeah, right. $300,000. This is the kind of thing we're talking about. These elitists want everybody else to live according to rules that they create, but they believe they don't have to live according to those rules.
That's exactly right.
And the populist, the people are saying, we're not going to put up with this nonsense.
Yeah, and we know better. We're informed. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we're smarter than everybody else, but we see what's going on.
Right. Sure.
We know what's behind the curtain. But there's people in this country, in America, that don't know what's going on because they're so busy, whatever they're doing in their day-to-day lives, they don't have time to read, study the facts, know the issues. They're being propagandized by CNN, MSNBC, and all the other mainstream media outlets. And this is all about government control. That's all it's about at the end of the day. The corporate elites don't care about carbon emissions, global warming. Matter of fact, there's no such thing. They want government control. This is another way. And, this Brexit, it's right up on the screen now on Fox News about the British Prime Minister, as Fred mentioned, delaying the vote for this Brexit, which happened like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Matter of fact, it happened, more than 2 years ago. Because
it was under Obama.
Because Donald Trump was talking about it on the campaign trail in 2016.
That's right. And Obama was encouraging the British people to reject it.
Yes.
He is a globalist.
Yes, that's how you get a revolution.
Yes.
That's how you get a just revolution when the people vote on a ballot initiative and it passes. And then the governing authorities say, wait, we can't enforce that. That's how you get a revolution. And if I was someone in Great Britain, I would be a little concerned and frustrated now because a ballot initiative, that's like us passing a constitutional amendment across the country. And then the White House says, we're not going to enforce that.
Let's remember what's behind Brexit. Unfortunately, under the liberal leadership, that used to be the government there in Britain, they signed on to many years ago being part of the European Union. What did they have to do to be part of the European Union? They had to give up some of their sovereignty.
Yes.
This is why Brexit is crumbling, is because the European Union sat down with Prime Minister May and they said, this is what you're going to have to do if we're going to allow Brexit. And the conditions they put on it were just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. So you have the European Union, because Britain had to give up some of its sovereignty, and every member of the European Union has to give up some of their sovereignty, all of a sudden you have this globalist controlling what goes on in your nation. This is why Donald Trump is fighting this.
Yes.
Make America great again. Making sure that America maintains its sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
Because Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton want us to bow the knee to those globalist forces.
And they basically sold us out to our enemies.
Absolutely.
Some may say that's an overstatement, but you look at the Iran deal, giving billions to Iran while they're shouting death to America.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton sells 20% of our uranium to Russia, who's the big foe now.
Right.
And that's a complete sellout.
We caved on the Cuba policy.
Yeah.
Which the irony there is, in 2008, 2009-ish, President Obama, when he was standing in front of all his supporters, he made the comment that we're not the party of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, we're the party of John F. Kennedy. Whose administration put our policy in place against Cuba? It was John F. Kennedy. And here we are 60 years later saying, he was wrong.
Yeah.
Remember Barack Obama, too, when he was campaigning the first time for president. He got this huge crowd when he went, was it Berlin where he went? He went to Europe to campaign to be president of the United States.
Yeah.
And he says, we're going to change the country. We're going to change the world.
Yeah.
So, folks, if you think that this is all happening haphazardly,
right,
think again.
No, this is well organized.
The leaders of the European Union, the Barack Obamas and the Hillary Clintons of this world, mm-hmm, and I would dare say the Democratic Party,
yeah,
are all part of this effort to have America give up its sovereignty.
That's right.
That's where we are.
And that's why we have to keep an eye on the UN.
Yeah.
Because funding the UN. We're hosting them in New York. If it were me, I would just back out of the whole thing. We're not going to be a part of this UN. All they do is bash Israel, bash the U.S., and then speaking along the same lines, Chris, they've put forth these climate standards that they think are good, and one of them will put gas up to $46 a gallon, not a barrel, a gallon. If the UN's policies were implemented in the U.S., our gas would be $46 a gallon.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that America's tired of. That's why Donald Trump won.
Well, and bear in mind, too, when they come to the UN from wherever it is in the world they live, they're flying here. Airlines or airplanes are giant emitters, far and above what you, yourself, and your car are putting out from your tailpipe. So they jet set over here. They don't all carpool in their plane.
No.
And then they come over here and they eat meals far more expensive and nicer than most of us will ever consume. As a matter of fact, they had the UN Climate Summit over the weekend in Poland, because that's a place where you want to gather in December to talk about global warming. And they had a very meat-heavy menu. That in and of itself is hypocritical, because they have pointed to meat as one of the reasons why emissions are going up with methane and all this other stuff. I mean, you can't write this stuff. My favorite thing about the Bernie Sanders story from last week, he drops $300,000 in October alone on the air travel. But it's okay, because he spent, in addition to that, nearly $5,000 in carbon offsets as a way of, like, basically forgiving him for his emissions.
Yeah, and that's the way they're pitching this, and I've seen it on Tucker Carlson's show and other shows, where the liberals are saying, well, you can fly in your private jet, but you just got to pay higher taxes.
Yeah.
You got to pay your fair share, and if you're going to do the damage to the environment.
He owns three houses, by the way.
But Bernie, if you really believe that the emissions are doing that much harm to our world, then why are you in favor of it altogether?
If it was that big of a concern, they would all Skype.
Yes.
We have the means of doing that today. There's not a news show you watch.
Or they would ride their bikes to work.
Right.
Maybe they can start. Here's the thing. If Al Gore and all the uber liberals that propose this stuff, Fred, if they will start living by the same standards that they tell us to live by, then I might actually listen to their argument.
Yeah.
If Al Gore will start riding his bike or his battery-operated car places, then we can talk. But until then, they're total hypocrites, and we're not going to listen to it.
Well, and this all goes back to the stories last week that we were covering. The Democrat senator from Hawaii, Serrano, remember she said?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Democrats are just smarter.
We're smarter than everybody.
We're smarter than everybody else. And then you had, and we have a cut of this, actually, cut number 8, Brent, of Tom Perez.
Yeah.
Last Thursday, DNC, he's the guy who heads up the Democratic National Committee.
Right.
Saying, here's the problem, Democrats. We got these dummies out there who are trusting what they're hearing from their pulpits.
Hmm.
Listen, this is not only ridiculous, but it's a little bit scary, too, because Tom Perez was signaling, and I'm going to let you listen to it, he was signaling that the Democratic Party believes what's preached from our nation's pulpits, conservative pulpits, is a problem.
Yeah.
Cut number 8.
For most of the people I know, their principal sources of information are Fox News, their NRA newsletter, and the pulpit on Sunday. And it should come as a surprise to no one that our message doesn't penetrate. It should come as a surprise to no one that that person has elevated the issue, of course, to the top, because that person on the pulpit is saying, ignore everything else that this person has done and is doing. We have to focus on one issue of Roe versus Wade, and people buy it.
Wow. Yeah, that's the head of the Democratic National Committee. When I was presenting this on Brian Fisher's show on Friday, we actually went all the way back to the 2012 Democratic Party convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, where they voted down putting God in the party's platform.
That's right.
So listen, folks, this is a pattern.
Didn't they boo him too? Boo God?
Oh, they booed.
On the floor.
On the floor.
Yeah.
So, folks, this has been going on for years now. It is part of the mentality of the Democratic Party. They believe they're elitist. They believe that basically people who are conservatives should push aside, keep your mouth shut, and we're not allowed to have these people in power. And that's why they hate Donald Trump, because Hillary Clinton was supposed to win in their eyes in 2016. When she didn't, they declared war on Donald Trump and his followers.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Chris, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left. Hit us with one more news story.
All right, breaking news or developing news, probably a better way to put it. Out of the U.S. Supreme Court, the nation's high court has declined to hear cases defunding Planned Parenthood. This is from the D.C. Examiner. Planned Parenthood will continue to receive Medicaid funding in Louisiana and Kansas after the Supreme Court on Monday declined to hear cases in which the state sought to stop the organization from participating in the program. It's unclear to me what exactly their reasoning for this was, but there is an interesting comment in here from Justice Clarence Thomas, a H.W. Bush appointee, by the way. Clarence Thomas said, "What explains the court's refusal to do its job here? I suspect it has something to do with the fact that some respondents in these cases are named Planned Parenthood," which is what you'll hear a number of people on the right say. And really, I think this explains the mindset that a Tom Perez, who I think was actually one of the people up for Hillary's nominee, vice presidential running mate in 2016, but it explains a lot of what Democrats think. If you are okay with killing a baby, you have no scruples.
Right.
You don't care booing God. Right. You don't care bad-mouthing the guy, which, by the way, there's two things that get me out of bed in the morning. It's the word of God and what I heard from the pulpit on Sunday. Yeah. And I don't care what Tom says.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Chris. And you know, and I'm just going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say this. And I need to do more studying on this, but from what it's looking, Judge Brett Kavanaugh joined the liberals on this.
Okay.
He joined the liberals on this in rejecting to hear the case about whether states can defund Planned Parenthood through Medicaid reimbursements. That's called Title X in the law. If this is correct, that Brett Kavanaugh turned away from Justice Thomas, Justice Gorsuch, and Breyer, I believe I have that right. Samuel Alito. If Kavanaugh turned away from the conservatives on the bench, the constitutionalists on the bench, joined the liberals, this points to the concerns that AFA voiced a year ago months ago when Kavanaugh was appointed. And AFA got so much backlash from even our friends, from conservatives, saying, "How dare you oppose President Trump's nominee?" Well, if this comes to pass, and this is a hint at how Kavanaugh is going to rule on pro-life issues, meaning he's either not going to touch them or he's going to side with the abortion, the baby killers, then this could validate our concerns from the get-go. But it's too late now, Fred, because Kavanaugh's on the bench.
Yeah, what we heard when the nomination first came up is that, you know, he's a strict constitutionalist. Mm-hmm. Well, if he was a strict constitutionalist, he would say it's states' right to decide whether Planned Parenthood gets taxpayers' dollars, Medicaid dollars.
Right.
And instead, it turns around and apparently gives, as you say, his approval to this.
Yeah.
There's something wrong.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll keep an eye on this and maybe look a little bit more into this case and what it means, and maybe we can circle back around tomorrow and talk about it. Today's Issues, American Family Radio. Steve Jorall coming up next hour, next segment, bringing us more news of the day. Stay tuned.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.